All right, guys, Parshas Bamidbar. We're speaking about the Levium. And the truth is, the first part of the parashah, everybody knows in the beginning of Bamidbar, we go through the numbers. Literally, in the desert, they started counting the numbers of Klal Yisrael. Altogether, the numbers of Klal Yisrael out there, 603,550, right? Those numbers are there. And it goes through every single shevet, what they needed. Then it goes through the degulim, how they traveled through the Midbar, etc. Then in Parak Gimel, it starts the count of the Levium. In Parak Gimel, Pasuk Lamites, says, Kol Pekudi HaLevium Asher Pakad Moshe Aaron Al Pi Hashem L'Mishpachosam. All the numbers of Levium that Moshe and Aaron counted, according to Hashem, by their families, Kol Zachor Mi Ben Chodesh V'Mala, every male, from a month and up, Shnayim Ve'Esrim Aleph. There were 22,000 of them whatsoever. Now, this number is weird. Because by the rest of Klal Yisrael, there were numbers in the 30,000s, 40,000s, 50,000s. Shevet Levi is only 22,000. And not only that, Shevet Levi is being counted from a month and up. This is not 20 to 60. This is a month and up. This is way more. You'd expect the numbers to be much more than it is by anything else. But no, you only have 22,000. Another strange thing over here. The word Aaron in this pasuk has little dots on top of it. You see that by certain psukim in the Torah. There's little dots on top of Aaron. The question is, why? Why does Aaron have those dots on top? So first, let's go into that. Rashi tells us the reason why Aaron's name has nekudos on top and the reason why it has those dots on top is because he wasn't counted with the other Levium. Although all the Levium were counted, including Moshe and Gershom and Eliezer, his own sons, and Aaron's kids were included, Elazar and Itamar were counted, Aaron himself was not counted. The Gemara in Bechoros and Daf Dalet says the exact same thing. They counted certain people, but not Aaron. That's the dots. That although they counted, he was involved in the counting, he was not counted himself. The Mizrahi doesn't understand that at all. The Pasuk is not talking about who was counted. The Pasuk is talking about who is doing the counting. The dots on top of Aaron should be taking him away from being one of the people that counted the Levium, that Moshe counted the Levium, but Aaron wasn't. But to be counted from this, it seems weird that he'd be excluded from over here. He says that instead he feels that this Pasuk means he wasn't involved in anything at all. Moshe Rabbeinu really counted Bnei Yisrael by himself. Aaron was not really there because Aaron was involved in the original count of Bnei Yisrael. He's added on here, but he wasn't really involved. And thus, the dots on top of the head saying he's not really involved over here. Sifsei Chachamim seems to argue that it's both. There's a Gurari over here, a Be'er Basada, along with Mizrahi. Lots of Meforshei Rashi that speak about this issue. I'm not going to go any further than that. The Paneach Raza also goes into this and indicates that there was a mistake here, so to speak. Aaron should have been involved. He wasn't involved. And that's that. The Malbim says a very big Kiddush. He says there were two counts that were involved over here, and Aaron was involved in one and not involved in the other. He says the following. He says that the first count was done by Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu went through every single person in Shevet Levi from a month and up, counted them all together, and came out to 22,300 from 1 month and up. 22,300 altogether. Aaron was then asked to separate the Bechors, the firstborn, those that were firstborn among the Levium. Out of those 22,300, take out all of the firstborn. There were 300 firstborn. So Aaron's count, the one that he was involved with was only the last 300. So again, Moshe counted the 22,000. He was the full Shevet Levi, 22,300. Aaron made a second count and said, who here is a Bechor? And they raised their hands. They came out with 300. And he's the one that counted that one. So the dots on top, says the Malbim, were to tell you that he was involved in one of the counts, but not the other. There was one thing that he did, but he didn't do the other thing. That's how the Malbim understands it. Panim Yafo says, and this is the Hafla, the Rebbe of the Chassam Sofer, he says that Aaron was commanded to count the Levium along with Moshe Rabbeinu, but he practically could not be involved. Why couldn't he practically be involved? Well, what happened with those Bechors, guys? We all know that there were 22,273 Bechors in Klal Yisrael. Now, that is an amazing number, and we'll get to that soon. But 22,273 Bechors in Klal Yisrael. Those Bechors were supposed to be Kohanim. They weren't Kohanim. They didn't end up being Kohanim because what happened? How did the Bechors lose their job? The Egel Azov. So they lost their job. Instead, the exchange had to happen. You had to take those 22,273, take the Kiddusha off of them, so to speak, and exchange it for the Levium. Said the Levium could get their own Kiddusha, something else could happen with them. So you took 22,273 of those Bechors, you connected them to 22,000 of the Levium, and you exchanged it and went through. However, the Bechors, the firstborn, don't count. Because the 22,300, the 300 Bechors among the Kohanim, they didn't get counted. They weren't exchanged. They were Bechors themselves. So you couldn't exchange a Bechor for a Bechor. So that didn't happen at all. So you had 22,273, 22,000 exchanged for the 22,000 Levium. There was a little waving being done by Aaron, and that happened to say, like, they go for each other. And there were 273 Levium. What did the 273 Bechors have to do to redeem themselves? So you know what this is. It's the very first Pidyon Bechor. What does a Bechor do in order to redeem themselves? Well, not the Bechor, but the parents do. Five shekel kesef, right? You got to exchange. You got to give five shekel kesef. 273 Bechors had to give five shekel kesef to Aaron. Aaron could not be involved in the count, says Afla. Why? He's no Geah Bedover. What does no Geah Bedover mean? He makes money off this. If he messes up the count, what ends up happening? He either makes more money or he gets more money for his coffers. That's what's going to happen. You can't have him be involved in the count. If he does, something's going to get messed up. Give me a second, Jake. But that's the problem. So you can't let him be involved in this count over here. That's impossible. So he would maybe, they thought maybe he would short count the Levium. Obviously, Aaron's an unbelievable tzaddik. He would never do that. But he couldn't do such a thing. This is the concept, says the Panim Yafos, why he couldn't be involved here. So even though he should have been involved, he should have been part of the count, he couldn't because the B'nai Yisrael had to trust who was doing the count. They weren't sure what Aaron was going to do. Yes, Jake.
If there's 300 before and 20,300, isn't that like 70 kids per family?
Yeah, give me a second. The numbers are going to be staggering. I said this number is unbelievable. Let's do it with Klal Yisrael as well. We'll get to that in a second over here. We're skipping the Chassam Sofer and Taurus Moshe. We'll get to this. Rashi seems to say, altogether, as we said before, 22,300 Levium, right, altogether. If you count the numbers of Gershon, 7,500, Kahas is 8,600, Merari is 6,200, that's 22,300 altogether. The Ibn Ezra says, even though the count over here said 22,000, where'd the 300 go? The Ibn Ezra says they rounded off. Round off from 22,300 to 22,000, they rounded off. They left out the other 300, that's one thing. And then he brings down our Gemara, right, the Gemara in Bechoros, that says 300 of them were Levium, like we just mentioned from the Hafla, and that's why those people weren't counted. There were 22,000 Levium, 300 others that were Bechors, and that's what happens over there. There's a Maskel of David on this, and there's also a Chassam Sofer, which we may come back to, but I don't know if we're going to come back to. The Ramban asks the famous question over here. It's a famous question, but it's the Ramban's Kasha, and everybody goes based on the Ramban's Kasha. Why in the world was Shevet Levi so small? This number is staggeringly small. Very, very, very small. Why was it that the most beloved of God's Shvatim, the one that he chose to be his servants, the ones that were supposed to be working in the Mishkan the whole time, were so small that they were by far the smallest Shevet of Klal Yisrael? I mean, if we're dealing with the people that were just, let's say, the ages of 20 to 60, all the other Shvatim are 30,000, 40,000, etc. And Shevet Levi is around 15,000. At the most, maybe even less, maybe even like 11,000. Why were they so small? What happened to them that they had numbers so small? So that's their question, the question of the Ramban. How could it possibly be? Some people said, well, they were carrying the Aron Kodesh. If you're carrying the Aron Kodesh, what happens to the people who don't treat the Aron Kodesh with reverence? What's going to happen? They're going to die. So maybe they died because they're carrying the Aron Kodesh. But that's an impossible answer. Why is that an impossible answer? They hadn't carried the Aron Kodesh yet. By the time this count was made, they had not yet started carrying anything. So it's impossible. That can't be it. So why in the world are they so small? How could it be? Says the Ramban, and it's famous. He says, this is a proof, he says, that Shevet Levi was not involved in the work in Mitzrayim. Now, tell me guys, is there a pasuk that says that Shevet Levi didn't work in Mitzrayim? That they weren't slaves in Mitzrayim? Is that a pasuk somewhere?
Yeah.
It's not a pasuk.
But that's why Moshe was always able to...
When Moshe was able to come in and out.
Yeah.
Also could be because he was the prince, right? The son of, you know, Bisya, and the daughter of, the son of the daughter of Paro, and therefore because of that he was able to come in and out. But it doesn't say in a pasuk that Shevet Levi was able to come in and out. It's a medrash. It's a medrash Tanchuma, Parshas Va'era, Perek Vav, that says that because Moshe Rabbeinu was part of Shevet Levi, therefore he was able to get in and out. But it's not a pasuk. There is no pasuk that says it. Says the Ramban, this is a proof. Because why did B'nai Yisrael become so big? Why were there so many children in all of Klal Yisrael? Because they were slaves. They had slaves. How many kids per birth? Six kids per birth. What's the reason why they had so many kids? Because when the Mitzrayim were saying, we want to destroy the Jews, we're going to enslave them, we're going to knock them down, we're going to destroy these Jews, at that, for some reason, that made them grow even bigger. They had larger families, bigger, more better kids, you can say. Cain Yirbeh, the Cain Yifrotz, said HaKadosh Baruch Hu, according to the Medrash. They became many because they were working so hard. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them a special bracha of Puravu, and so many kids were born. Shevet Levi didn't work so hard. They didn't work at all. They weren't part of the slavery. If they weren't part of the slavery, says the Ramban, they never got this bracha. So they never increased in their numbers. Their numbers remain stagnant. They remain normal because they never got that bracha. I know we all know this. Everybody knows the Medrash. They had six kids per birth, right? It sounds like the greatest bracha, but like that's only because we're not thinking from the women's point of view, right? That six kids per birth is probably not the easiest thing in the world. Let's assume it was also easy childbirth. That's still, like, I can't even imagine what it's like in the ninth month. I would assume they didn't get to the ninth month when you had six kids in your stomach. I don't know. I didn't talk to anybody who's had sextuplets lately. I have absolutely no idea what it's like. I can't imagine that's an easy thing. But they had six kids per birth. Tell me, guys, how many kids did Amram and Yocheved have?
Three.
Did they have three kids at once?
No.
They had Miriam and Aaron and Moshe. What's going on? You have a medrash that's telling me they had six kids per birth. But the only family that we are told who is in that family are Amram and Yocheved. And out of those people, Amram and Yocheved, we know about Miriam, Aaron, and Moshe. Did Miriam have five brothers and sisters born with her? No. Did Aaron? Did Moshe? No. So why are we saying there were six people born per family? Says the Ramban, it's obvious. Because anybody who was working had six kids per birth. Everybody who was working ended up having all of these kids because that was the bracha. But Shevet Levi didn't work. They didn't get the bracha. So the numbers for all of Klal Yisrael were huge. The numbers for Shevet Levi were very small. They didn't have big families. They didn't get the bracha to have big families. They had normal-sized families that nobody else in Klal Yisrael had. That was the difference between them. Now, does everybody get that answer? It's an awesome answer. That the only reason why everybody else... It's like we're looking at it from Shevet Levi. Why is Shevet Levi so small? Don't look at it that way. Shevet Levi was normal. Why was everybody else so big? And the answer is everybody else is so big because they had six kids at a time. They had that bracha because they were enslaved. Jake.
So that's, we decided that Levi was one per six.
I haven't gotten to the numbers yet. Hold on, I'm getting to the numbers. Hold up. No. Don't ask the question. I don't want you to ask it. I'm going to get to it. It's there. I promise. You can just look at the sheets. It's on page 3. I'm going to get to it. It's staggering numbers. I promise you I'm going to get there. If I don't get there, you can throw your challenge at me. I promise you it's going to be there. Okay? So just hold it in. Hold it in. I know it's hard. Okay? We'll be okay. Yeah, Ruth. My gosh, don't ask me questions. Nobody's allowed to ask me questions and numbers, okay? I'll get to it. It's going to happen. I'm telling you, it's going to be there. So another answer that the Ramban gives could be that Yaakovinu got angry at Shevet Levi. When did Yaakovinu get angry at Shevet Levi? When Shimon and Levi destroyed the city of Shechem, right? He got angry at them and said, "What are you doing?" They said, "Akazonu Yasal Hoseinu." When Yaakovinu was giving out brachos, he turns to Shimon and Levi and he curses their anger. Arur apam kiaz. He curses their anger. By every other brother, even Reuven, there's a bracha being given. By Shimon and Levi, there was no bracha. So Levi and Shimon, what ended up happening is Levi never had so many kids because he didn't get the bracha from Yaakov Avinu. It had nothing to do with the slavery. It's that the bracha of Yaakov Avinu was never chal on Levi, so he didn't have the numbers. Shimon had numbers now. Right now, he's 59,300. But in the future, he loses about 30,000 of them. He goes down in the second count. So because of the curse of Yaakovinu, says Ramban, it could be that the numbers went down because of that. That's the idea behind it. Now, the Or HaChaim HaKadosh does not like either one of these answers. Why doesn't the Or HaChaim like it? So the Or HaChaim HaKadosh says that there's a medrash that says Yaakovinu saw 600,000 of his descendants. Yaakovinu lived for 17 years in Egypt. He saw his nation go from 70 people to 600,000 people. There was no slavery during the 17 years that Yaakovinu was in Mitzrayim. How in the world could they have that many kids? If it's all because of slavery, that slavery makes your numbers go up, then that number doesn't make any sense, that they saw that many kids that quickly, because it couldn't have been. In the second answer over here, the Or HaChaim HaKadosh says, if that's so, then Shevet Levi should never have a lot of kids. If the whole thing is they don't have the bracha from Yaakov Avinu, then Shevet Levi and Shevet Shimon should always be small. But that's not true. In Divrei HaYamim, Shevet Levi was huge. Shevet Levi became a massive Shevet. So why did it become a massive Shevet? It must be they had the bracha of Yaakov. So why didn't the bracha of Yaakov work until now? So Or HaChaim HaKadosh throws both of them out. So Or HaChaim HaKadosh goes into our answer, and this is going to lead up to the numbers, okay? Or HaChaim HaKadosh says that when Bnei Yisrael is made into slaves, this is a crazy line, they lost their ability to appreciate human life. They could not appreciate human life anymore. Listen, none of us have ever been slaves. Baruch Hashem, none of us have ever experienced anything like the Holocaust. But the way the Or HaChaim HaKadosh is saying it is that when they were in these travails for years, not just 1 year or 2 years or 3 years or 4 years, but for 86 years, as time was going on and second and 50 or and 10 years passed by and 15 years passed by, they couldn't stand their lives anymore. They would have committed suicide if they could. They couldn't handle it. They didn't want to be there anymore. They were tired constantly. They didn't have a family life. They were making no money whatsoever. They were afraid. They were scared of anyone and anything that came near them because they never knew when they were going to die. They had absolutely no idea. And they were mentally taxed from everything that was going on. And because of that, they couldn't react when Egyptians barged into their homes, grabbed their kids, and drowned them in the river. They couldn't do anything. Bnei Yisrael was looking at them like, oh, that's part of our life now. There was no fight back. There was no stop it. There was nothing like that. They couldn't handle it. You're talking about a huge nation with hundreds of thousands of people. And you have an Egyptian or two running into the house, grabbing babies and throwing in the river. Why didn't they fight back? They were gone. They were mentally gone. They couldn't handle it. They didn't know what to do with themselves. They were willing to birth their kids in fields and leave them in caves to keep them away from the Egyptians. Who does that? No one sane would ever do that. You would never leave your kids somewhere. But the Gemara tells us, and the Medrash says, they were having their kids in the fields and just leaving them there. Kind of a, no mother would ever do that. The mother would take the kid home thinking at least they'll feed them. I'm sorry? Exactly. It's the same thing in the Holocaust. The same, unfortunately, the same exact thing happened. And only somebody who's mentally gone could do that. This is the difference. Shevet Levi were not enslaved. They were a princely Shevet, a princely people. They could not imagine giving birth to children and not knowing what to do with them, watching their own children die. Therefore, says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, the rest of Klal Yisrael was continuing to have babies. Okay, we're going to have a baby, we're going to lose the baby. It didn't make a difference to us. Again, you can't imagine, but I'm not judging someone who's in that position. But they continued to have kids and they continued to do what they were doing. Shevet Levi, they were princes. They said, we can't have any babies. They separated from their wives. As we know, Amram divorced his wife and said, we're not doing this anymore. They couldn't stand to see it anymore. They couldn't be there anymore. They all said, it's not a jump to say that Shevet Levi said, even if they were married, we're not being together with our wives ever again. We're not having children ever again. They refused to have kids because they said, why do we want to bring them into this world? This world's crazy. Sure, we're not slaves, but we're living in a slave world and the Egyptians could barge in at any time. We're not having any kids. So either they separated from their wives or they divorced their wives or they just stayed away from their wives. Their wives didn't go to the mikvah at all. And in that sense, because of that, Shevet Levi was the smallest of Shvatim. It was that they weren't near their wives. Yocheved, if we look at the numbers, again, the numbers are crazy. Yocheved gave birth to Moshe when she was 130 years old. That means she gave birth to Miriam when she was 123. Yes, it's a miracle at 130. People weren't getting married. Amram was over 100 years old when he had his first kid. What's going on here? Granted, the years were more back then, but you don't get married at the age of 20? And the answer is no. Shevet Levi stopped. They said, we stopped. And he wouldn't have even gotten back together with his wife if not for Miriam's nevuah. Miriam had a nevuah, dad, go back together with your wife. And he did so. He wouldn't have otherwise. He would have stopped. He would have said, I'm out. I'm totally out. This idea is so totally crazy. And I know the Gemara and Sota says, but then they all got back together. After Amram returned to his wife, Klal Yisrael got back together. Says the Skulas Moshe, it's also brought by the Pardes Yosef and the Chidah, Yisrael got back together with their wives. Shevet Levi did not. Shevet Levi remained sort of like priests on their own, didn't get married, didn't want to have any children because they were afraid of what the future would bring. Jake, what were you going to say?
But like, if they find kids in the field, they wouldn't pick them up and take them? Then?
I don't think so. To do what? You know, they wouldn't do it.
Was so afraid. So all 11 tribes, they're like, we're going to have babies, whatever.
We'll do whatever. We'll do whatever it is, and it doesn't matter. If a kid is born, then okay, it'll be killed. What can you do?
And then you're going to say that Levi would not have any kids.
Wouldn't go anywhere near.
Go anywhere near anything. Well, I'm not having kids. They're living in the fields.
Again.
Yeah. You're saying this is between, I'm going to say, 20 years is a normal age at that age to have kids. Between 100 years old. they're going to see Yisrael, and they're going to be like, they're having kids and still populating exponentially, whereas we're not doing anything in that time period.
Two different drachim, especially if you see it from the Medrash, what Amram's decision was. It's not somebody from Klal Yisrael that had that. Klal Yisrael did not make that decision, but Shevet Levi made that decision for themselves. They were the ones who decided they were going to be celibate in some way, shape, or form. Again, no one's saying that they made the right decision here. Apparently, they didn't, right? But this is the reason for the numbers. It's a normal, natural reaction to be able to have that over there. And the truth is, this is not a foreign concept. You say every single day in Uvel Tzion, Laman lo niga larik velo nedli lebehala. We don't have kids for them just to be killed. That's not what we want. We don't want kids to end up having that way. In Tinus Yud Aleph, it says it's usher to have children during a famine. Why is it usher to have children during a famine? Because you can't feed them. There's no mitzvah of pru revu during a famine. So, and then a jump is, so this is a crazy famine. We're being enslaved and we have no way of paying for our kids. We don't know what to do with it, with our lives. So just like in a famine you don't do it, so it's over here we're not going to have kids. Again, whether we poskin that way or not, that's not the issue. Shevet Levi may have made that decision, and thus, here's the miracle. The miracle is they had 22,000 people over the age of 1 month. That's crazy. How could they have had that over there? How could that be? There's a Mulei Omer over here as well, but that's the concept over here. Yeah.
Between 20 and 100 is three generations.
Yeah.
You couldn't figure out within three generations maybe it's worthwhile they have kids.
No. They poskin no. Again, same thing.
Might have seen.
It didn't matter. They still poskin no. Because they saw everybody dying. They still saw many of the kids dying. Five out of the six kids dying every single time. Right? It was. Again, that was Shevet Levi's decision. And again, we see it from Amram itself. That's Or HaChaim HaKadosh's answer when it comes to stuff like that. The Netziv says that Shevet Levi was different in a different way. The reason why 20,000 is because he was reserved to be a special Merkava for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears because of 22,000 people. It's possible that they were the ones that Shevet Levi took upon themselves to do something a little bit different. Shevet Levi took on the mitzvos of the others. Now remember, Klal Yisrael, did they keep doing Bris Milah and Mitzrayim?
No.
They kept certain mitzvos, but they lost all the others. Shevet Levi kept up the mitzvos. But yet, I guess, they still sinned. And because of that, Sviv of Nisara Ma'od, says the Netziv, it's possible they were punished severely, more severely than everybody else, because they tried to keep the mitzvos, and they couldn't keep the mitzvos, and therefore they were punished, and many of them died. Many, many, many people in Shevet Levi died for that over there. He brings down such a concept. He says, you can see this by the flora and fauna of the world, by the flowers and trees that exist throughout the entire world. You look throughout all the plants that exist throughout the entire world. The concept is trees and flowers that are very precious and very special take a ton of time and effort to cultivate and to create them into something there. There is a beautiful eel that I always wanted to get from my fish tank called a ribbon eel. You can look it up afterward, but it's an unbelievable eel. The amount of work you need to get this ribbon eel to work, it's a saltwater fish, you need to spend at least an hour a day on this thing. You have to feed it by hand in order to go through. It is beautiful color. It has the most beautiful colors in the world. A beautiful, beautiful eel. It's an unbelievable fish. But to take care of it takes a lot of work. You can't do that. I compare it to plants, but I'm not a plant guy. So I'm not going to do that. But that's the way it goes over here. So too with Shevet Levi. They were so special to cultivate them, for them to have something. They needed a lot of work. They weren't doing it correctly, and therefore they didn't have the kids they were supposed to have. It's almost like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I don't want to say cursed them, but held them back because of it. And it's so strange. There's a Tiferes Shlomo on this as well, the Radomsker. Strange Radomsker that says the Avos were very great. The Neshamos of the Avos included other people's Neshamos. It's almost like Avram Avinu was equal to 500 people. You get the concept? Like, he was so great. His Neshama was so great. It's as if 500 people were in the same category as him. It says like that. Therefore, there was no need for the Avos to have many children. If one person is equal to 500 and he gives birth to another kid that's worth 500 people, you have 1,000 people in your family, right? That's what the Radomsker says. So therefore, you don't need to have that many kids. You've already got 1,000 people in your family just with one and one. Klal Yisrael were equal to one person, so they needed to have a lot of kids. Shevet Levi, each person was equal to many, many people. So you only needed to have one or two kids, and all of a sudden you have 30 kids. Do you get the concept? That's the Radomsker's idea. How many people were in Shevet Levi? Only 22,000. But those 22,000 were equal to all of the 600,000 of Klal Yisrael. That's the idea. Yes, quantitatively they were low. Qualitatively they were high. And in order to have those numbers, says the Radomsker, they have to be up there. And we see this concept. Yair ben Menashe is equal to 36 people. Avishai ben Tsruya, the general of David Melech's army, is equal to 70. Moshe Rabbeinu is equal to
600,000.
This concept is throughout, where one person is equal to many. That's the idea behind this as well. Yeah.
I'm going back on what you said before of Amram separating
from his wife. Yeah.
I'm just not sure if I understand the timetable, I guess, of he separated and Miriam was alive to tell him to get
Miriam was 6 years old at the time. Yeah.
So how long did he separate?
3 months, according to that medrash. 3 months, because Sota, Daf Yud Gimel, 3 months, and then he came
so
back.
Much of a difference that they
it wouldn't have, but I'm sure a lot of Levim said, you know what, we're not going back. Moshe got a nevuah to go back. We didn't.
So even though Amram went back.
Amram, not Moshe. Amram got a nevuah to go back. We didn't, so they probably didn't go back. That's the Orach Chaim and the Skulas Moshe's answer for that. Yeah.
If each kid's worth 500 or whatever, why is that a reason to have less kids?
It's not a reason to have less. It's that each person was worth so much, they didn't need to have more kids. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't give them more per revu. You have to have a schus to have children. It's like a massive merit to be able to have kids. So you can have kids when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to have kids. Hashem said, that one child, put more into that one kid. Because that kid's worth 100 kids. So therefore, if you put more into them, if you had 100 kids and each one's worth 100, then you're going to lose out on what that kid could do. Spend more time with that kid, that one kid who's worth 100 kids, who's worth 1,000 kids. That's the concept that the Radomsker is saying. Again, not passing an halacha, that's that. But now, okay, let's get to the numbers, okay? Everything is based on that Gemara over here of 22,000. We got into it. But the numbers are absolutely staggering. I'm quoting a Rav Schwab over here, Rav Shimon Schwab. But a lot of it, these are questions that I had, I still have in my first year notebook. When I was a first year bachur in Eretz Yisrael in 1997, and I'm dating myself a little bit. It was 1998 when the time Parsha Bamidbar came along. I did these numbers and I went all the way through. And I said, there are 603,550 males between the age of 20 and 60 in Klal Yisrael. Right? And how many Bechors are there? 22,273. There are 22,300 Levium in Klal Yisrael from 1 month and up. Right? From the men from 1 month and up. Right? How many Bechors are there? 300. I said, okay, I'm not even taking the numbers. Technically, Klal Yisrael is 3 million strong. There are 3 million people altogether. Right? And you take those numbers. How many Bechors? 22,273. Now, if I ask you right now, there's probably like 20 people in the room right now, whatever. How many people here are Bechor? How many of you are firstborn? Okay, so right now, does everybody see the numbers? We've got 7 out of 20, let's say, about that number, right? 7 out of 20. So our numbers right now, so if we did that, that's going to be about 35%, right? 35% of this room is a Bechor, meaning 3.5 out of every 10. 3.5 out of every 10 people. I think that's pretty good. Do you think that's what you're going to find if you go around the, you know, you'll find, like, for every one person, every Bechor, there's probably three other people. Say something like that? So, I mean, that's a low number. If we do these numbers, that means 600,000 men between the ages of 20 and 60. You had 22,000 firstborn. That means one out of every 27 people was a Bechor. For every Bechor, there were 26 other people who were not Bechors. And don't tell me, well, some of them were females. I'm not including the females in this. I'm only taking the 600,000. You want to take everything? Let's go like this. 3 million people in Klal Yisrael. There are 22,273 male Bechors. You want to do the numbers there? You want to figure that out? It's one out of almost 90 kids. One of almost 90. You mean to tell me that there were that many female Bechors? What happened? Why in the world? One out of every 80 to 90 kids is a Bechor. Where are all the firstborn? It doesn't make any sense at all. The numbers are totally off when it comes to that. And the Kohanim, 300 out of 22,300.
What? If you have a lot of children, you're going to have fewer Bechors.
That's 100% true. If you have a lot of kids, right, you're automatically going to have less. But that means you have to have, again, around 50 per family. 50 kids per family. If you take the females into account, one female Bechor, one male Bechor, you'd have to have around, if we have 90, you're dealing with 50 people in each family, right? And you have one Bechor. It's just the numbers don't make any sense at all. If you tell me 1 out of 10, I'm okay. 1 out of 27 doesn't make any sense. 1 out of 27 doesn't work. 300 out of 22,300. Anybody really good at math? 300, 22,300 divided by 300 altogether. I have the numbers right here so you can actually cheat. That means one out of every 74 Levium. 74 Levium, one guy was a Bechor. Now hold on. Didn't we just say that Shevet Levi did not have a lot of kids in their families? We just said that, right? Shevet Levi did not have a lot of kids. One out of 74? Are you kidding me? That doesn't make any sense at all. Now, granted, Miriam was the Bechor in her family. Maybe there were a lot of female Bechors. But one out of 74 makes no sense. It doesn't make any sense. The numbers are staggeringly off. So Rav Schwab says, and he has to answer, he said, I have no answer. But Ashkacha Pratis, Hashem wanted the woman to be the firstborn. As well, I know, my firstborn is a daughter, is a girl. She's awesome. I don't know what I would do without her, right? It's the only reason why I had a girl, because, you know, obviously, girls are best when they're first, and then afterward, everything comes out. Bas Chila, what's the Gemara and Baba Basra with Rebbe Yudah Hanasi and his son, right? Bas Chila Simin Labanim, right? It's a Simin Labanim. It's all about having the boys, right? It's all about having the boys. Okay, clearly not. But that's... Assumably, says Rav Schwab, that's what ended up happening. That's what happened. That there were tons and tons of girl Bechors, tons of them. And every family, when there was a male Bechor born, they were like, oh my gosh, that still happens? They were shocked. They were shocked they hadn't seen such a thing. And yeah, one out of every 74 altogether ended up being that way. It's unbelievably strange, but that's how he ends up going through. It's more than that, by the way. If you look through, all these numbers are staggeringly off. 22,300 Levium, okay? 8,580 of them were between the ages of 30 and 50. 8,580 between those 20 years right there, but the rest of them were males anytime. That means a third of the Levium were between the ages of 30 and 50. That's also weird. The numbers are off with that as well. Something's really, really wrong over here. Reb Chaim Kanievsky gives somewhat of an answer, but it's not a teretz. He just gets to like 28, one out of 28 in order to get around here. But something's wrong here. Something is totally wrong. So I feel like there is a major, major idea here. And I think, Mr. Jakubowski, I think you came up to it. I think you said it without saying it over there. It goes like this. It's really there. If you have six kids per family, right? Six kids per birth, I should say. Then the families were really big. If four-fifths of Bnei Yisrael died in Mitzrayim, it could be that a staggering amount of firstborn children died in Mitzrayim. That all the Bechors died. And you were left with 22,273 in Klal Yisrael and 300 for Shevet Levi. If we go with that number of four-fifths being for real, the families were bigger, families were huge, there were 15 million Jews in Mitzrayim, 15 million, because you have 3 million that left, so 15 million that were in Mitzrayim, then many, many of the 12 million that died were firstborn males. And that's what ended up happening. I'm sorry, the odds are extremely low, but you're dealing with a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And a Kadosh Baruch Hu had this hashgacha. It looks like, and the Kli Yakar says it, that they wanted 22,000 for Shevet Levi, 22,000 for the Bechors. Number 22,000 is connected with the amount of Malachim there at Har Sinai. 22,000 is a number that deals with 22, is obviously the number of letters that are in the Torah. There's something special about 22,000, and it was done with Ashkacha, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted it to be that way. Strange. It's strange, but I really don't have a good answer for it. This isn't something that goes off a little bit, yeah.
So do Bechors have special mitzvahs that maybe Hashem was trying to keep?
It would have been
broken because
they were... Yeah, if they would have been the Kohanim, then they would have had special mitzvahs. They lost that by the Egel Azov, and after that, no. Aside from the fact that all of my brothers have to serve me because I'm the greatest out there, right? Aside from that, no, Bechor doesn't have that. We do have a strange spit also, right? If we don't eat anything before we eat anything in the morning, our spit is able to heal. So if anybody wants, I can spit in your face. I have no problem with that whatsoever. Just come to me before I start eating something in the morning. I have no issue, right? That, yeah. Oh, I do it all the time. Yeah, you'll see it. Just look at Amazon. So either way, but if that is something that's mentioned, right, that by the Gemara Bava Basra and the Kuf Yud Zion, I forgot where it is, Kuf Yud Chas, I forgot where it is exactly. I'd have to look it up. But yes, there is that, but nothing unbelievably well. It's just strange. It just really, really is strange. There's another answer that's brought down. Shevet Levi was supported by Klal Yisrael, right? Shevet Levi was supported for Klal Yisrael. If they were a bigger nation, it would be harder to support them. So Kadosh Baruch Hu purposely kept their numbers low so they would be supported. Now, obviously, that's strange. The Grizz says that answer as well. It's a strange thing to be able to say such a thing because, obviously, Kadosh Baruch Hu could do anything. Why wouldn't he be able to support them just because there were a lot of people there? If Shevet Levi was bigger, then just give them a little bit more Parnassah. Perhaps only when they came to Eretz Yisrael did they have enough land and you know, livestock and cattle would be able to take care of Shevet Levi. That's when Shevet Levi, their numbers went up in Divrei Hayamim. Maybe that's the reason why, but it's a strange griz and a strange Kli Yakar, but that is mentioned over there. There is a third answer given by the Kli Yakar. There's a fourth answer brought by the Kli Yakar as well. The Gzera of Amram, etc. There is a whole big thing over here. I have a big problem with the whole Gzera of Amram as well. You mentioned a little bit before. Amram made the Gzera. I'm going to ask this as a question. I'm going to leave it as a Tzarech Ian. I would love to hear an answer for it. I can't tell you I have a full answer. We just said that Amram made a decree. What was the decree? He saw that all the babies were being killed. So what did he tell everybody to do? Divorce your wives. Why? So we don't have any children. Did he really think that that Gzera of killing the babies was going to last longer than 9 months? Because think about it. If you divorce your wife right now, what's going to happen? You're stopping your wife from having a baby 9 months from now. So any woman that was already pregnant, what would happen to her? She's going to give birth anyway, right? And that baby's going to be killed. And you're not going to be around for that. You're not going to be able to support your wife while that happens. You're leaving her on her own for that. Like, what was the plan behind this of Amram saying, let's all divorce our wives so that we can save who? Somebody 9 months from now? In fact, that Gezerah of Paro didn't seem to last that long. So why would he have told them to do that? It's such a strange thing to do, to get divorced, to save kids 9 months from now. If you tell me that he made a Gezerah, every single kid that's born, hide them in one cave all the way out there. Okay, I can hear that. Like, bring them all out right now. But to say that you're going to do this because you're saving babies 9 months from now, it's just a strange Gezerah altogether. Right, it's just a really, really strange thing. I don't know what the thought process was. I don't understand what the idea was behind it or why they thought that was a good idea. I'm not sure. Like, obviously we're dealing with Amram. I'm just not sure what the Gadol Ador's idea was over here. Yeah.
Who never sinned?
Yeah, that especially. I'm going to end with this. Be'er Yosef. Be'er Yosef says something over here that's just a beautiful word, and we'll end with this. It's an interesting answer. Our 11th answer. I know I didn't give all 11 answers, but it's the 11th answer to this question. One of the reasons for Makas Dam, does anybody remember? Makas Dam had about 7 reasons for it. One of the reasons for Makas Dam is because the Egyptians would not allow the Jews to go to the mikveh to purify themselves from their dam nida. So the women who had dam nida were not able to go to the mikvah. And if they weren't able to go to the mikvah, they couldn't be together with their husbands. So makas dam was because of the dam nida that they were involved with. That's what it ends up saying over there. So they had to stop, etc. But that didn't affect Bnei Yisrael at all. Why didn't it affect Bnei Yisrael at all? Meaning they made that gezerah and they wouldn't let them go to the mikvah, but it didn't matter. Because the Medrash Tanchuma says at the end of Parsha Mitzora, they never had dam nida in Mitzrayim. No woman, no Jewish woman, had dam nida in Mitzrayim. Why? Because they were scared out of their minds of the Egyptians. And a Kadosh Baruch Hu gave them a special brach because they were bracha because they were working so hard all day long. So through the combination of the crazy work that they had to do and the fact that they were scared out of their minds of the Egyptians, they never had dam nida, which meant they never had to go to the mikvah. Somehow a miracle happened to that babies. Obviously, you need dam nida in order to have babies, but somehow they were able to have babies, and they kept giving birth without going to the mikvah. So the plan of the Egyptians of, we'll stop them from going to the mikvah so they don't have any kids, backfired. Because they were fine, and they had kids anyway. Shevet Levi didn't work. If Shevet Levi didn't work, guys, then what ended up happening? They still had dam nida. But the Mitzrayim made a decree that they couldn't go to the mikvah. Says Be'er Yosef, if they couldn't go to the mikvah, they couldn't be together with their husbands, which means they couldn't have any kids. The reason why they weren't able to have any children is because Shevet Levi was affected by that gezerah. You couldn't go to the mikvah. They were the ones who were affected. They kept having dam nida, and they had that. I'm sorry? Why?
Why would he tell them to divorce their wife then if they weren't having children anyways?
I would assume because the children were getting killed, etc. So maybe there was something, maybe in the future, maybe he was doing it for the rest of Klal Yisrael, so that the kids wouldn't be killed. But regarding Shevet Levi, Shevet Levi couldn't have. It was the most natural form of childbirth. They couldn't be together with their husbands because they couldn't get to the mikvah. That's why their numbers were so small. That's a tremendous answer, a great chop, a real good chop of like taking those two midrashim and putting them both together. But at the end of the day, that's a natural reason. Okay, Tam Vidas says, the lesson to be learned from all this, why Shevet Levi is so small? Because you can't go with quantity. You got to go with quality. And in the end, look at Shevet Levi. Shevet Levi was the big ones. They're the ones who helped out Klal Yisrael. So when we look at things and we say to ourselves, like, wow, Shevet Dan had 62,000 people and Shevet Yehuda had 74,000 people and all these shvatim, all these numbers, oh, Shevet Levi, they're a bunch of losers. They only have 22,000. Quantitatively, you're right. As we said before, the numbers aren't there for them. Qualitatively, Shevet Levi had everything you could want. And that's how we have to look at people. You don't look at them as numbers. You look at them qualitatively. What kind of a person are they? How great are they? And you improve. You go up. You understand. That's how great a person is. That's the idea, the lesson behind having only 22,000 people there. We'll stop with that, guys. Have a great job.